You are listening to a free podcast of The Majority Report with Sam Cedar. To support the show and receive nearly an hour extra material daily, become a member today at majority.fm. Resistance is futile.
The Majority Report with Sam Cedar. It's time to look in the mirror, America. Do you like what you see?
I keep referring to Obama as the magic Negro.
Do you like what you see now?
Well, suck on this.
It's just a mirror, America.
Shared sacrifice by everybody.
What could it do to you except reflect your image?
I did nothing wrong at the Minneapolis airport.
The Majority Report.
Far more credible to me than PBS.
And Frontline.
The Majority Report with Sam Cedar.
If I get the feeling you've been cheated.
Don't worry, we're here.
It is Tuesday, January 29th, 2013. My name is Sam Cedar. This is the award-winning Majority Report. We are broadcasting live in the literal, though not metaphorical, shadow of the New York Times building in the fashionable Dollar Lunch District of New York City. Today on the program, President Obama will be unveiling his immigration reform proposal as the sound that you're hearing, well, is actually my voice, but that sound in the background you're hearing off in the distance is the tears streaming down Rush Limbaugh's face. More on that as the show progresses. Also, the Treasury Department again accidentally allowed for all of those huge bonuses for executives of companies who received TARP money. What can you do, folks? New study out showing just who the members of Occupy Wall Street are. Also on the program, we will get to that story about Sarah Palin, who apparently has moved on. She's moved to from irrelevancy to complete oblivion, it appears. We will get to that Boeing story. Boeing, it's the Dreamliner still grounded. We will get to it indeed today. And assorted sundries as I will walk you through the day's news, ladies and gentlemen. Program reminder, Thursday I'll be in Washington, D.C. for the Families USA Healthcare Conference. I will also be talking at the very least, Senator Sheldon Whitehouse. We will have Wendell Potter on the program. If you have any suggestions as to what I should ask Senator Whitehouse, please do. And I think I'll be talking to Debbie Stabenow. So if you want to send us some questions that you think need to be asked, please do at majorityreporters@gmail.com. Let's start first, though, with, it's very rare that we see agreement between two prominent New York Times op-ed writers, one being Paul Krugman, the other being David Brooks. And worthy of note, and particularly as we head into this big immigration battle, because this is another one of those issues that will rip apart the Republican Party in many respects. And we're already seeing guys like Marco Rubio out there trying in some way to put down a marker for his 2016 run. In the meantime, we may actually get some type of immigration reform is beginning to look somewhat encouraging. I mentioned yesterday the proposal from the Gang of Eight, which I guess turned out to be seven, because dropped off? Some Republican senator who felt there was too much amnesty-ish about this proposal. But we will talk about that as we continue. So Paul Krugman on Sunday, writes, makers, takers, and fakers. And he writes, the prominent Republicans have begun acknowledging that their party needs to improve its image. But here's the thing, their proposals for a makeover all involve changing the sales pitch rather than the product. When it comes to substance, the GOP is more committed than ever to policies that take from most Americans and give to a wealthy handful. The Republican Party has a two-pronged strategy right now to regain some type of national foothold. One is to pretend that they're not crazy. The other is to jerry-rig elections in what have been lean blue states on a national level by coming up with these new type of electoral schemes. We've talked about these electoral schemes. But getting back to the makeover, the extreme makeover they're trying to do, David Brooks echoes Paul Krugman. On the surface, Republicans are already doing a good job of beginning to change their party. But so far, there have been more calls for change than actual evidence of change. In this reinvention process, Republicans seem to have spent no time talking to people who didn't already vote for them. They both cite Jindal and Paul Ryan and Rubio. But as Paul Krugman reminds us, back in Louisiana, Jindal is pushing a plan to eliminate the state's income tax. You know, we've gotten a couple of emails and I've received a couple of tweets from listeners saying there is a move by Republicans in states like Kansas, like in Louisiana, probably a little bit less than a half dozen others, to get rid of the income tax and replace it with a state, to get rid of the state's income tax and replace it with sales taxes. However, as Krugman points out, income tax falls most heavily on the affluent. And sales taxes fall much more heavily on the poor and middle class. The result would be big gains for the top 1%, substantial losses for the bottom 60%. Krugman goes on to talk about this in a more economic terms. Of course, Brooks, he's not so concerned about that. Bobo is happy in his suburbs. But Brooks's piece is completely incomprehensible. He goes on to say, if opposing government is your primary objective, it's hard to have a positive governing program. Well, this I agree with. I've been saying it for 6 to 8 years, I think, on the radio, that the Republicans cannot lead government because they are fundamentally opposed to its existence. They don't see it as a mechanism to enhance people's lives. Brooks goes on to say, after a bunch of gibberish, the next problem with this mentality is that it makes it hard for Republicans to analyze social and economic problems that don't flow directly from big government. Brooks apparently feels that he has the capacity to do this, although when you just talk about anecdotes that center around who drinks Chablis, one might find it hard. Moreover, given all the anti-government rhetoric, people will never trust these Republicans to reform cherished programs like Social Security and Medicare. You can't be for entitlement reform and today's GOP because politically the two will never go together. Well, and he goes, can current Republicans change their underlying mentality to adopt these realities? Intellectual history says no. It's probably futile to try and change the current Republicans. So what is David Brooks's fascinating prescription for this problem? It's smarter to build a new wing of the Republican Party. The second GOP wouldn't be based on the encroachment story, that being that government is encroaching on your individual liberty. It would be based on the idea that America is being hit simultaneously by two crises, which you might call the Mancor-Olson crisis and the Charles Murray crisis. Olson argued that nations decline because their aging institutions get bloated in sclerotic and retard national dynamism. Murray argues that America is coming apart, dividing into two nations, one with high education levels, stable families, and good opportunities, the other with low education levels, unstable families, and bad opportunities. Well, aside from stipulating that Charles Murray is sort of a horrible individual in many respects, it sounds like what Brooks is signing off on is John Edwards' Two Americas. The second GOP would tackle both problems at once. It would be filled with people who recoiled at President Obama's second inaugural address because of its excessive faith in centralized power, but who don't share the absolute anti-government story of the current GOP. Well, what it sounds like is he wants to go back to the first inaugural address of President Obama and the way that President Obama has basically been leading. But let's leave that aside for a moment. The question, the central question David Brooks leaves us with at the end of his piece is, who's going to build a second GOP? And fortunately for David Brooks, I have the answer. No one. No one. The entire project of the Republican base for the past 10 years has rid itself of that second GOP that David Brooks so desperately pines for. In fact, to the extent that you need a second GOP, you're looking at probably a third to a half of the Democratic Party that embraces his neoliberal policies. And basically, let's have a kinder, gentler way of screwing over the middle class and the poor in this country. But if David Brooks actually comes out and admits this, you know what happens to David Brooks? He loses his job. He's got no reason to exist. He doesn't get invited back onto the Lear Report or whatever that PBS show is. Is it the Lear Report? He no
it's
longer
the
can.
News Hour. With
the
Jim
News
Lair.
Hour. So David Brooks pretends like there is some possibility. Talk about intellectual history. David Brooks pretends there's some possibility for a second GOP. It is what it is, Mr. Brooks. I don't know how. What's left for him to write?
He could just spend the rest of the decade writing mea culpas for all the things that he wrote in the first part of the Bush administration.
It's possible.
Or he said on the day of the invasion of Iraq or within the first week, he was on a radio show and he was talking with a guy who opposed the invasion, and he said, how does it feel to have your entire worldview crumble?
He said that to somebody else?
He said that to somebody who opposed the invasion.
There you go. Well, now he knows. Although I suspect that happened quite a while ago. He still needs to cash checks, though. And just to put a fine point on Brooks's screed. Monday night, the Senate passed a $50.5 billion emergency spending bill to aid people in New York and New Jersey who were trying to rebuild their homes and businesses after Sandy. The vote was 62 to 36. It needed 60 votes for passage, of course, because we have no filibuster reform. The vote came 2 weeks after the House approved an identical measure. 36 Republicans, almost what? Is that 90%? 80% of Senate Republicans voted against the post-Sandy relief, including members representing states like Florida, Texas, Alabama, the Carolinas. Those states are important and relevant here. Why? Because they all received post-hurricane aid in the past. 78% of House Republicans voted against the emergency assistance. There is no chance we're going to see a different Republican Party. They are going to continue to spiral down and become less and less relevant, more of a regional and psychographically isolated party as they cling to their homophobia, their gun nuttery, their embrace of the truth about rape, their desire to keep women from having sovereignty over their own bodies, and of course, their virulent hatred of anybody who's not white.
I just came up with an idea for David Brooks. You could write a book called Bobo's Evicted, and it could follow up with all these people in the late 90s that he wrote about, riding off of the tech bubble and
real estate,
and they're all like selling off their Starbucks home coffee makers, and they're dealing with getting evicted from their homes. And that might be interesting for him to write about.
I guess we'll see. There's a lot of options out there for him right now, but none that will, I think, maintain his job. Meanwhile, yesterday we talked about the gang of, well, seven now, I guess, that came out with a framework for immigration reform. Today at some time in Las Vegas, President Obama will come out with his framework. And by all accounts, at least at this point, this is something the Obama administration has been working on for months. It is said to be more liberal than the Senate effort. The Senate proposal, according to the Washington Post, would let illegal immigrants or undocumented immigrants obtain legal residency quickly, but it would not allow them to seek full citizenship until border security had been improved and a new system was in place for employers to verify the employment status of workers. This is the rub. What does border security being improved means, etc.? The president intends to make clear the need for a more straightforward route for undocumented workers and students to obtain citizenship, reflecting fears among advocates that a cumbersome process would create a decades-long wait for some immigrants. You should know that President Obama's administration has been the most aggressive in deporting immigrants, and in 2012 hit the number of 410,000 immigrants, which is an all-time high for deportations. So the Obama administration has been as aggressive as any administration in deporting immigrants, many times splitting up families, I guess, ultimately, in their minds, to build some type of bona fides to make this new move. A little cynical, but it is what it is. The White House immigration plans have been in the works for months. Senior administration officials who spoke on the condition of anonymity to describe internal deliberations said the White House has developed specific legislative language. The president is also likely to support treating same-sex couples in which one partner is an immigrant the same as married heterosexual couples, meaning gay and lesbian immigrants in relationships with U.S. citizens could apply for citizenship. You should note that the Senate group, the gang of seven or eight, were originally planning to announce their plans on Friday, but moved it up to Wednesday, or I should say to today, when they heard, or yesterday, when they heard that President Obama was going to announce them on Tuesday, just to make it clear that they have massive egos and want to make sure they were first into the mix. Now, understand, folks, that yesterday when Rubio and McCain and Lindsey Graham got out there with those Democrats to announce their framework for immigration was one of the more depressing days in Rush Limbaugh's life. And we've been on the Rush Limbaugh depression watch here for the past couple of weeks. When we check in on him on our random rush, he has been seemingly very depressed. We missed this the other day, but here's Rush Limbaugh talking about how while no man is an island, apparently he is.
Anyway, one of Marco Rubio's points, folks, essentially is that Obama's already given us de facto amnesty anyway. He did it with the children of illegal immigrants via the executive.
Now, here's Limbaugh still trying to basically say, I need room to support Rubio in the future. So I'm going to reinterpret what he's saying in such a way that'll make it seem like this is already a done deal. But in fact, what we are talking about, folks, is some form of amnesty, if that's what you feel. Now, amnesty, of course, doesn't require that you pay any fines or whatnot. So it's a path to citizenship. And this is the way that Limbaugh's got a role, because he doesn't want to have to take Rubio off his list of Republicans. You know, he's got his little grid that he likes to support, and this is what he does. This is called, I'm providing some cover for Rubio. Continue.
The border back last year, it was prior to the election. I mean, thanks to Obama, now you have amnesty unless you get convicted of a major felony.
Pause it. Like I mentioned, and I'm not saying this approvingly, but President Obama has deported a record number of undocumented immigrants.
So I don't know that there's any stopping this. I mean, it's up to me and Fox News, and I don't think Fox News is that invested in this.
Ooh.
But there's not, I don't think there's any Republican opposition to this of any majority consequence or size. We'll have to wait and see and find out. But this is one of those, just keep plugging away, plugging away, plugging away, until you finally beat down the opposition.
There it is, folks. You got to beat down those opposition. You got to keep, it's just me and Fox News on this, and I don't even think they care that much. But Rush Limbaugh, though he is whining about that it's just me and Fox News out here, and I don't even think they care that much, he should be happy to note that, yes, Fox News does care about Limbaugh. They realize they are joined at the hip, responding to a piece in the New Republic, the newly launched New Republic, where President Obama is talking about immigration reform. And he's basically saying what, in many respects, I've been saying for quite some time, that the only way Republicans will be able to support this is if they are able to shake off the yoke of the Frankenstein that they have created. Remember back in 2007, when George Bush and Karl Rove knew that the future of the Republican Party was in jeopardy because of how much they had alienated Hispanics, among other people. They attempted some type of immigration reform, and the Frankensteins, the electoral base of the Republican Party, rebelled. Talk radio rebelled and sunk the whole bill. And so Obama was basically saying, if these Republicans have to kowtow to Fox and to Rush Limbaugh, it may not happen. And of course, well, that provided a segment for Fox, one of the Fox and Friends, Steve Ducey, who brings on a paid legal consultant to tell him just how great Fox is. Let's play this first clip.
After he went after the Second Amendment and guns, now the president unhappy with freedom of speech, going after the First Amendment. Criticizing Fox News Channel and Rush Limbaugh, saying, quote, one of the biggest factors is going to be how the media shapes debates. If a Republican member of Congress is not punished on Fox News or by Rush Limbaugh for working with a Democrat on a bill of common interest, then you're going to see more of them doing it. Here to comment, Fox News legal analyst Peter Johnson Jr. What's the president doing there?
The imperial presidency playbook is open, and they're in the middle of the book at this point. So as you say, the Second Amendment is in doubt, and now the First Amendment is seriously in doubt.
There it is. The First Amendment is seriously in doubt because President Obama said that if the right-wing media punishes Republican lawmakers, they won't be able to do anything responsible and they'll be beholden. And that's, of course, how you destroy the First Amendment. Let me draw a diagram of that. No, I can't. Let's play the second clip as they come out of playing a clip of Rush Limbaugh bemoaning the fact that they're all alone.
Fox News stands for the First Amendment today, as does Rush Limbaugh. The job of Fox News is to go after policies and to go after politicians in a constructive way. Fox News has the best reporters in America and the best commentators and thinkers in America. If that upsets the President of the United States or the Democratic leadership, then so be it. That is the bulwark of our democracy. Ask Thomas Jefferson, ask Alexis de Tocqueville commenting on America. Look at our history. Without a free press, there's not a free America. Without a free Fox, there's not a free America. People can love us, hate us, watch us, or not. But Fox is doing its job. Fair and balanced means something, especially in a media that's in the tank across the board. And the president does not like that.
There's a reason we're number one.
All right. Absolutely.
Peter John.
Wow, the studio audience really enjoyed that. I love the idea of saying, just the saying the name Alexis de Tocqueville while looking at Steve Doocy.
Like entering some type of vortex.
That is
these two words. It's like elements.
That
in the periodic
is one of
table.
The. That is. You are like Alexis de Tocqueville, Steve Doocy. Is he French?
Steve Doocy's face, like turning all red. He's looking down to the
floor.
Well,
I don't know what to say. I really don't know what to say.
Oh shucks.
And for those of you who are listening to the program or watching, want to call in at 646-257-3920 and tell me just how these Hispanic immigrants are ruining the country and how they won't assimilate. Well, apparently, there was a study back in 2007, political scientists Jack Citrin, Amy Lemon, Michael Murakami and Catherine Pearson tested the theory, the so-called theory, about Latino assimilation. There is no evidence whatsoever that Mexican and other Latin American immigrants are assimilating more slowly than previous waves of immigrants. Latino immigrants acquire English as quickly as or more quickly than Asian and European immigrants. Although Mexican immigrants lagged behind on language acquisition in 80, the gap was closed by 2000. First-generation Mexican immigrants still lag behind on learning English, but second-generation Americans, including those who live with their first-generation parents, acquire English just as fast as do Asian or European immigrants. Hispanics appear to be no more or less religious than whites, they write, nor do they exhibit lower commitment to importance of working hard to get ahead. In other words, there's no difference. Immigrants take time to assimilate. Latino immigrants take more or less the same amount of time as any other immigrants. We are now at a net negative of undocumented immigrants in this country. And it's time to take these people basically out of the black market and let them, give them a path to citizenship.
and deal with this. And I know I sound like Sean Hannity when I say that. Sean Hannity was very clear when shortly after the election, we've got to get rid of the immigration issue altogether. It's simple to me to fix it. I think you control the border first, whatever that means. You create a pathway for those people that are here. You don't say you've got to go home. And that's a position I've evolved on, says Sean Hannity. So maybe when Rush Limbaugh says it's just me and Fox, that's what he means. He's lonely. He's lonely.
I think we have to check in on our old pal Rush today.
Oh, yeah. We'll do a random Rush in the second half of the program. And as Republicans prepare, well, let's go. Let's get this. Let's take this call, shall we? Oh, we lost him again. As Republicans prepare for this immigration battle, you know that when they were at their retreat a couple of weeks ago on that former slave plantation, they were advised to stop talking about rape. Stop going out there pretending like they're rape experts. Stop going out there claiming that rape can be legitimate or illegitimate, or you can't get pregnant from it, or God intended any pregnancy if there's rape, et cetera, et cetera. Well, on Monday, House Republicans received a list of immigration messaging, do's and don'ts, according to The Hill, from the Hispanic outreach arm of top GOP super PAC, the Hispanic Leadership Network, urged members to use tonally sensitive rhetoric, regardless of their position on the issue. So back to the stories that we started with today with Brooks and Krugman, that the Republicans are being urged to repackage themselves as kinder, gentler bigots. The Hispanic Leadership Network says, avoid the negative tone and harsh rhetoric. Let's look into that memo, shall we? Here's some do's and don'ts for Republican lawmakers. When engaging in conversation or doing an interview on immigration reform, do acknowledge that our current immigration system is broken and we need to fix it. Don't begin with, we're against amnesty. When talking about a solution for the millions here without documentation who could qualify to get in line first with a temporary visa, then legal residence, and finally citizenship, do use the phrase earn legal status. Don't use the phrase pathway to citizenship. When addressing securing our borders, do use the wording enforcement of our borders includes more border patrol technology and building a fence where it makes sense. Don't use phrases like electric fence, build a wall along the entire border, or send them all back. When talking about immigrants, do use undocumented immigrant when referring to those here without documentation. Don't use the word illegals or aliens. Don't use the term anchor baby. When addressing amnesty and earned legal status, don't label earned legal status as amnesty, and don't characterize all Hispanics as undocumented and all undocumented as Hispanics. And when broadly addressing reforms, don't use President Reagan's immigration reform as an example applicable today. That legislation was true amnesty. In addition, border security, fixing our visa system, and temporary worker programs were part of the reform that were never implemented. So there you have it, Republicans. You have your talking points. Take their advice. Don't be such D-bags.
You are a douchebag.
I mean, you're literally have a series of presentations on a strategy retreat that begins with stop talking about rape as anything other than horrific and how not to just sound objectively racist to Hispanic people. Like, this is a high-level strategy discussion.
Yeah, I mean, the entire Republican Party has basically been sent to sensitivity training. Like you would an offensive guy at a workplace.
And they're all, like, sitting in the back, popping, like, bubble gum. Just like,
right. Hey, yeah. Throwing paper airplanes at the teacher.
Yeah, I got it. Won't say Anka Baby anymore. Yeah, whatever.
Okay. Meanwhile, let's get to this story because I don't even know if people will remember her name in the coming days. In her first comments as an ex-employee of Fox News, Sarah Palin. Many of you may not remember Sarah Palin. She was the high point of the Republican base's victories when she was named by John McCain to be her vice presidential nominee in what was perhaps one of the closest near misses I think this country has faced in terms of an immediate potential for a total implosion of our society. But Sarah Palin released her comments. Well, Sarah Palin said that conservatives can't just preach to the choir and must instead broaden our reach. And she released her comments through the website Breitbart.com. When asked what's next for her, she said, "I encourage others to step out in faith, jump out of the comfort zone, and broaden our reach as believers in American exceptionalism. That means broadening our audience," she said to the interviewer from Breitbart.com. She said she was taking my own advice in an apparent reference to her separation from Fox. So essentially, in it, taking her own advice and encouraging others to step out, to jump out of the comfort zone and broaden her reach, she went from Fox, which reaches 2 million of the most isolated and marginalized people in the world, to Breitbart.com, which reaches probably a tenth of the most marginalized and isolated people in this country. "As far as long-term plans, the door is wide open," Ms. Palin added.
Now that is absolutely true.
Yes. I have all the options available to me. "I know the country needs more truth-telling in the media, and I'm willing to do that." Wow, that is a not-so-subtle hint. Essentially, that I have no contractual obligations that would prevent me from working for you, Glenn Beck. So, I don't know. I mean, it's quite possible we may never see her again. I mean, honestly,
in the political realm. I'm sure she'll still get on some Dancing with the Stars show.
Yes. I think we'll see Dancing with the Stars probably in
Sarah Palin's Alaska.
5 or 10 years, maybe she'll be on a Dr. Drew show, like where she who knows? But I think we're basically done. She's going to do some speaking tours. But is anybody still hiring her for speaking tours?
I still think she does get paid pretty well for speaking gigs. And it's funny. I mean, I know you're joking about the Dr. Drew thing, but I actually was seriously thinking that she will show up in, like, you know, just those really bad, like, VH1 retrospectives of a decade or something. I mean,
yeah.
She really is. It's kind of amazing, actually.
Like, yeah. No, I think she is now, like, she and Victoria Jackson may start something together on some type of YouTube network. Look. You know,
alert me. I will subscribe to that.
That would be gold. Yes.
maybe we could get her to be a correspondent for us. I don't know.
She could join the David Pakman network. It's good sound quality for her.
All right. Well, we're going to take a break. When we come back, first story up is going to be the story of the grounding of the Boeing 787 Dreamliner. We will indeed get to that story. Also, a story anonymous has hacked into a into the U.S. Sentencing Commission and is threatening to release sensitive records. I guess one packet a day, unless there is federal reform of the Computer Fraud and Abuse Act, which was being used to prosecute Aaron Swartz. Also coming up in the better half, that study on just who was part of Occupy Wall Street won't come as a surprise to many of you. And we have some fun sound from a couple of days ago of a representative. Where's Lankford from?
Oklahoma.
Oklahoma spreading a myth to justify, I guess, where gun violence comes from. A myth that we had talked about Nicholas Kristof spreading not too long ago. And maybe we'll play that fact-checking Papa John's, the CEO. Apparently, they're trying to scrub his website, pretending Matt's personal boycott of Papa John's apparently is they're feeling it over there.
Yep.
Folks, if you want to support this program, which I hope you will, you can become a member and receive extra 50 minutes a day in podcast form, but you can also get a free DVD. Still have pilot season DVDs starring Sarah Silverman, David Cross, myself, H. John Benjamin, Who's the Caboose, the prequel, or I guess it was the first one, the movie that the series was based on, and also a Bad Situationist. So some comedy videos for you if you are so inclined. 30 cents a day. It's worth it just to join for a month or two and get the free DVDs, which I'm not encouraging you to do. Probably shouldn't have said that. You can become a member at majority.fm. Head over to majority.fm, click the links, become a member. You can also support this show by clicking on our Amazon link. If you buy crap from Amazon, some of you do, buy it through our link. Click on the link, bookmark it, buy your crap through there, your Amazon crap. We get a kickback. No change, no difference to you, but puts a little bit of a smile on our faces. Start to plan for that, for my soon-to-be-born child's college education. Yeah. Still working on name. Also,
Vera
just
Shekel for Shekel. New campaign.
JustCoffee.coop. Fair trade coffee, tea, or chocolate. Organic if you want it. Use the coupon code MAJORITY. Get a 10% discount. It's great coffee. It's a great outfit out of Madison, Wisconsin. Fair trade. JustCoffee.coop. Of course, subscribe to our YouTube channel at youtube.com/ Sam Cedar. What else can you do? Give us a good review on iTunes. Call the program, 646-257-3920, 646-257. We got a special libertarian line open today at 646-257-3920. The conservative line is also open. That's 646-257-3920. And for you normal people, you can call us and comment on anything you've heard on the show or anything else, 646-257-3920. You can IM me at Majority FM. Read your IMs in the next half of the program. See you in a moment.